This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. If you don't mind turning your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. As we survey Scripture, it gives us two roads. Two roads. One road is of the blessed life. One road is of the wicked life. It often illustrates this by comparing persons throughout Scripture, such as Cain and Abel, such as Esau and Jacob, such as Ishmael and Isaac, all the way through Scripture, even as we get to David and Saul. Or how about the ultimate comparison in Scripture, Christ and the Antichrist? There are often two roads that's presented to us. The road of the blessed, the happy, or the road of the wicked. Psalm 1 gives us those two roads in one beautiful package psalm. As you look at Psalm 1, it starts this first song of 41 songs that are called personal songs, mostly written by David, that compares the blessed life with the life of the wicked. As I speak with us this morning as a community, as I speak to my friends this morning, I just want to remind you that we all have the privilege of living the blessed life. That's life that chases hard after God's word, that chases hard after a lifestyle that's just like Jesus. And we all have the privilege of living the blessed life. I don't want any of us to live the wicked life, that other life. I want us to experience together the blessed life. As you look at Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Very quickly in verse 1, it starts off with this whole idea of what the blessed man is. Of course, some of your translations may say happy. Happy is the man. And I think Scripture uses it interchangeably. Blessed or happy is the man who doesn't do what this verse is telling us in verse 1, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Beloved, this morning, if you want to be happy and you got to be blessed, you can't take your advice from those who leave God out, those who are wicked on a consistent basis, those who kind of make fun of God's word, make fun of God's ways on a consistent basis. That happy person, that blessed person, doesn't find company easily with those kind of folks. You know, as I look at being blessed in my own life or being happy in my own life, I don't get up every day of the week feeling happy. And I don't get up every day of the week feeling blessed. To tell you the truth, I don't get up every day of the week feeling saved either. But thank God, salvation isn't based on how I feel. It's based on the fact of Calvary. I'm glad that being blessed or being happy isn't dependent on the way I feel when I go up, when I go down, when I'm around. It's not dependent upon that. Being blessed and being happy is a gift that God has given us. It's the privilege of the Lord Jesus Christ who gives it to us. So when I wake up and I don't feel happy, I need to read Scripture and find out that I am happy. I am blessed. Because this kind of happy here doesn't depend on the happening. It doesn't depend on whether or not I have a lot of money in my pocket. I can be broke, busted, and disgusted and still be blessed. I can have, my wife can cook exactly what I want for dinner. And I can be happy. And I can be blessed. Or she may burn my breakfast in the morning, and I need to still be blessed and happy. You know, I'm wondering us sometimes, do we declare that we're blessed? Do we declare that we're happy every day of the week? I know some of us, when we take exams, we're not happy that day. Matter of fact, we don't feel blessed that day. It depends on whether or not we had adequate time to study for that exam or study for that project. But you're happy and blessed no matter how much you studied, no matter what the grade may be. I hear somebody saying, you don't understand, I want to make straight A's. I understand. But we're happy and we're blessed regardless of what's going on in our lives. This verse tells us, verse 1 here of Psalm 1, that happy is this man, blessed is the man who doesn't take counsel from the ungodly. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 that reminds us that we ought to watch who we hang around. Because as we hang around them, we may take on their character. We may take on their attitude. He tells us this blessed person doesn't take counsel from the ungodly, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't take advice from people who leave God out, who poke fun at the word of God, who don't like listening to the word of God, who doesn't have a word from the Lord to tell us when we're going through our situations and trials in our lives. We don't listen to people who leave God out. But verse 2 paints the other side of the picture. We don't listen to people who leave God out, who don't listen to his word. But notice verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And according to scripture, he meditates in it day and night. Verse 1, we don't listen to people who leave God out. But verse 2, watch this. We find our delight in God's word. Whatever God is saying, that's what I want to hear. Whenever God is speaking, that's what I want to hear. I was at a church one night preaching revival, and the song service went kind of long. And somebody from the choir kind of said abruptly, make it short, preacher. Make it short. And I told the lady on the choir that sermonettes make Christianettes. They end up smoking cigarettes. But anyway, we should find our delight not just in the song service, but we should find our delight in scripture, in the law of God. And we should meditate only on two occasions, and that's day and night. We only have two occasions where we have to meditate on God's word. That's Wednesday night and Sunday morning. I mean, day and night. On a daily basis, we need to be in God's word. A few weeks ago, I got kind of sick. I think I came down with the flu. I went to the doctor, was coughing, sneezing, just didn't feel well. Doctor gave me some medicine, and I was still coughing, still waking up in the middle of the night, still feeling like I had one moment I'd feel extremely cold, next moment I'd feel extremely hot. And someone said to me, they said, we know exactly what you need. And I said, what is it that I need? And they said, castor oil. I can tell some of y'all don't even know what it is. Castor oil, excuse me for a moment, you can mix it with orange juice and it will still be nasty. You can mix it with Coca-Cola and it still be nasty. Somebody told me you can mix it with liquor and it'll still be nasty. That's what I heard anyway. But it will still, they're not working with me, it will still be nasty. But you know, I know castor oil works because it's so nasty, it gotta chase anything out of you that's bad. I mean, it's just, it don't smell good, it don't taste good, it's just nasty. And I took some of it, and it made me feel better, but I complained the whole time because I could not get the taste of that castor oil out of my mouth. I said, this is the nastiest stuff I've ever had in my life, even though I got better. Some of us, we treat God's word the same way. We treat it just like we treat castor oil. We know it's good for us. We even try to mix it with other stuff sometimes to make us feel better. But you can't mix God's word with anything else. God's word is good all by itself. As a matter of fact, even as it purifies us, even as it cleanses us, some of us have the nerve, gall, and the audacity to complain that it still doesn't taste good, even though the Word of God is doing its work in us. My daughters love strawberries. Matter of fact, my wife will go to the grocery store and purchase strawberries, and my daughters will help my wife bring in the groceries. That means they'll go out and get the strawberries out the bag and leave everything else in the car and bring the strawberries in. And they like to wash them real quick. It's almost like they sense there's strawberries somewhere in the midst. And one of my daughters, she just likes to cut the ends off of it, wash it, and she just start popping strawberries. I mean, she's just having the best fun. She's just popping strawberries. I mean, it's all over a mile. I'm like, wipe your mouth, baby. Why are you eating your strawberry? She's like, Daddy, it's just good to me. It's just good to me. My other daughter, she's kind of proper. She opens the cabinet. She gets us some sugar. I try to tell all the time, it's sweet enough all by itself. Why do you have to add sugar to your strawberry? She said, Dad, this is just my thing. Let me kind of add my sugar to my strawberry. She gets her sugar out, wash her strawberries, cut the greenery off the end, and she just dips it in the sugar. And she sits there as if she's 80 years old, just loving on her strawberries. The reason why I say she looks like she's 80 because she's looking as if she's imitating someone that used to eat strawberries in her life. But she's just enjoying, they're both enjoying their strawberries. They just can't get enough of strawberries. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm ready to just to purchase a strawberry field or something so they'd have enough strawberries in their lifetime. But some of us, when we approach God's word, we approach it the same way, like it's strawberries. We leave all that other stuff in the car, and we'll just get into God's word. We set quality time. It's not enough just in the morning or in the noonday. We get quality time at several spots during the day to spend time in God's word because it's like strawberries to us. We just can't get enough. Some of us, it's all around our mouths. We just can't get enough. You're like one of my daughters, all around your mouth, because every time you open your mouth, it's like strawberry. I mean, it's like the word of God is right there. Some of us, we even need that sugar that we get out of the cabinet and we add it to the strawberries. I asked my daughter one time, why do you have to add sweetener to your strawberries? And she said to me, she said, Daddy, because Jesus is so sweet. And I just want to remind you, as Jesus instructs you in his word as you read it, that it gets sweeter as the day goes by. How do you all approach God's word this morning? Is it like castor oil to you? It's the nastiest thing you've ever had, but yet you know it's doing its job? Or is it like the sweetness of strawberries, where you find your delight in it, both day and night? A traditional kind of idea of this, finding delight in God's word, is like that cow that's just chewing and chewing, eating all the grass it can possibly eat, then it. Regurgitate, it throws it up, and then you can find that same cow kind of eating the cud, kind of eating it all over again, because it doesn't have a digestive system that can move easily from one side to the other. So to aid it eats as much as it can and then throws it up to only eat it again. You know what? I want God's word to be such a way in my life, whereas I throw it up, I want to eat it all over again, because I find my delight in God's word. I know some of y'all said that's a smelly, nasty illustration. But you know what? I want God's word to be such in my life that it's meaningful in every area of my life. Someone has once said, the digestive system is for the body, just like meditation is for the soul. And we need to meditate on God's word. Spend quality time. Take out time. You know, if I was at church right now, I would say, some of y'all need to turn off Desperate Housewives and read the Desperate Housewives of God's word. Or turn off The Young and the Restless, and you find a lot in The Young and the Restless as you read God's word. There's a lot of action going on in Scripture that we miss when we don't take time to meditate in God's word. Verse 3 helps him with this blessed life because watch this. Here's the picture, brothers and sisters. We don't take advice from someone who leaves God out. We find our delight in God's word. And here's the picture that's put down right in the middle for us. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. That's what it says in verse 3. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. As you look at verse 3, get a picture of a strong tree, of a mature tree, with lots of leaves, with the kind of fruit that you like on it, with good fruit on it. The Bible says you shall be like a tree if you don't take advice from people who leave God out, if you find your delight in God's word, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And the scripture says here that bringeth forth fruit, maybe not immediately, but in that season that you're supposed to bring forth fruit, it will be right there. And the Bible also goes on to say, and its leaf shall not wither. I mean, it's green all year long because it's by this resource, by the river, this subterraneous nutrition that it gets from being by the river. It's always available. Everything that this tree needs in order to be prosperous, in order to be successful, it's right there because this tree is planted by the river. And whatever he does shall not prosper. As I look at this verse, I'm reminded that oftentimes we have fruit so that other people can enjoy. They enjoy our love, our peace, our patience, our long-suffering. But we have leaves so that we can inspire other people who look on and see us. There's something different about that one. They're healthy. They're strong. Even as we look into the world and we see all the drought and everyone that's going through, that this person is different. Because they're planted by the rivers of water. Now, this is only available for the person who doesn't take advice from the ungodly. This is only available to the person who delights in God's word. They're like a tree that's planted by the river of water. How blessed is your life today? Are you planted by the rivers of water? Do you have good fruit on you today? As you look at scripture, is there good fruit on your vines today? How about your leaves? Should we get out our rake because there's so many dead leaves in your life? Because your leaves are withering? Are you prospering? Are you successful? Are you like this picture of this tree? You don't have to wait for it to rain because you got everything that you need. It's right there. It's almost like the verse suggests that it's not just the leaves are good and the fruit are good, but the root system is good. And the root system, you and I both know what the root system is. The root system is God's word. They're planted deep in God's word. You know what? What could be a temptation for some of us is to come to school and we've come to get under God's word and we've studied God's word and we're reading God's word in our classes. But God's word may not be changing us. Because we've turned God's word into a textbook and not a life transformation book for our lives. You know, someone once said that instead of getting under the word, get in the word. Someone has once said a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. Someone has once said that sin, that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. How blessed is your life today? Do you feel successful? Oh, you can't trust your feelings. Do you know that you are successful, that you are prosperous, that you are favored, that you are anointed, that you are blessed because you're in God's word? God's word ain't a joke to you. It's not something that you just do when you have to, but when you just got some time to yourself, you just want to spend some time in God's word. memorizing scripture, loving on God through his word, figuring out, hey, what is God saying over here? I hadn't heard that before. You just can't get enough of scripture. You just can't get enough of God's word, because this is the blessed life. When someone asks you for advice, what kind of advice are you giving them? Do you give them the world's perspective? Or do you give them God's perspective? Because you're so full of God's word until there's nothing else that could possibly come out. But what is God saying about this? What is the word saying about this? Are you like that tree so that when other people see you, they say, hey, there's good fruit on that tree. The leaves are strong on that tree. They're prospering. Even though it seems like other things are going down, they're still going up. They're doing well because they're living the blessed life. And I want to tell you, it's possible to be a student here and not be living the blessed life. But you know, the Bible always makes a contrast between good and evil, holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous, the blessed life and the wicked. Verse 4 has this verse about the wicked. I hate to even go over verse 4 because I just want us to focus on the blessed life, but here's what verse 4 says about the wicked. The ungodly are not so. They take advice from people who leave God out. They don't find their delight in God's word. They're not like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. The ungodly are not so. You ever seen chaff and the end of that bumper crop, that harvest? I mean, it's worth nothing. The wind can just blow it. And it's not worth anything. It's not worth anything in the market. It's not worth anything for your diet. I mean, it's good for nothing. It can't possibly add any value to anything. And that's what he compares to the ungodly. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. There doesn't seem to be a foundation there in verse 6. I mean, there's nothing positive going on. Can you imagine? You can't eat chaff for fruit. I mean, you can't eat the fruit. I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, there's no leaves so that no one else will be inspired. One of the heartbeats that I have for our school, I want when people hear about our school or see Columbia International University students in the community, that they're inspired. There's something special. There's something different about them because they're people of God's word. But the chaff, they're not like that. They're just like the wind they're like the chaff that the wind just drives away. There's no foundation there. But not only is there no foundation, but there's no fellowship. And also there's no future. You say, how do you know? Because of verse 5. Verse 5 says, therefore the godly shall not stand in the judgment. Imagine that picture there of not being able to stand within the judgment. There's nothing there for them in the judgment. Matter of fact, they're going to fall on their face before a holy God in the judgment. They're not able to stand. They're not able to rejoice in the judgment. They have no foundation, no fellowship. Matter of fact, at the end of verse 6, it says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. I mean, look at their future. No foundation, no fellowship, and there's no future. There's no hope for those who live ungodly. No hope for those who live the wicked life, the opposite of the blessed life. That's why I so badly want for us this morning to every day of our lives strive for the blessed life. Lord, how can I live more in your favor today, more of the blessed life? How can I please you more? And that's by living out his word. One theologian said this about Psalm 1, verse 2. He says that Jesus Christ is the personification of what we have there. He perfectly obeyed God's word all of his life. So much so, it led him to die a horrific death on the cross. His active obedience of being that of a follower of God through his word led to that passive obedience, death on the cross. I hope no one today, not at least not in this room, that's hearing the sound of my voice, I hope you're not identifying with the wicked. No foundation. I hope you're not identifying with the wicked, no fellowship. I hope you're not identifying with the wicked, no future. But I hope you have a picture of the blessed life like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. One of my Hebrew professors said it this way. The actual translation there may not be by the rivers of water in as much as it may be in the rivers of water, that we're actually in the rivers of water. But let me look at the future of those who are blessed. In verse five, it says this. Nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, verse six, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This idea of know here is not a casual know. It's God is intimately concerned about the way of the righteous. I mean, when you delight in his word, when you don't listen to people who leave God's word out of their lives, who laugh and make fun of God's law, when you're living by the book, when you're living by God's word, God is intimately concerned about every aspect of your life. That's good news this morning. That we have a God that's concerned about every area of our lives, whether it be relationships, God is concerned. Had a young lady come to my office a few years ago. She's about 24 years old. She was about to graduate. And she said, Professor Rogers, no one has asked me out since I've been here. What am I going to do? Don't worry about it. No, I don't have any other. What am I going to do? I said, bury yourself in God's word and God will bless you. And you know, she did just that. You know, four kids later, a husband later, God has truly blessed her. Told her today she had one more kid, her quiver will be full. Hide yourself in God's word. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it tells us that he knows the way. He knows the way of the righteous. I want God to know everything there is to know about me. We sing a song at church, lead me and guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through. Let me, brothers and sisters, I want God to know everything there is to know about me. And I want him to be able to share with me what I need to know in every situation that comes up in my life. I want to live the favorite life, the blessed life, the happy life. Now, I know sometimes I won't feel like I'm happy. I won't feel like I'm blessed. I won't feel like I'm highly favored of the Lord. I won't feel prosperous. I won't feel successful. Sometimes my bank account tells me that I ain't too successful, but I can't listen to any of those. I'm taking my cues from God's word. And he says I'm blessed. He says I'm prosperous. He says it will be well even in the future. He has a full retirement plan for those who are of the blessed, those who are happy, those who he knows their future. God knows. I had a privilege a few months ago, this beloved brother in the gospel, one of my ministers that was fond of our church, member of our church, he went home to be with the Lord. And I stood by his bed before he went home to be with the Lord, and he was pretty sick. He'd go in and out of consciousness. But every time he'd wake up, he'd say, Lord, I love your word. And he start quoting scriptures. Lord, I love your word. And I asked him, I looked at him, I said, Sergeant Major, how are you doing? He said, I love the Lord and I love his word. And he dripped right back off. He'd come to again, his wife would be standing right there. She said, how you doing, honey? She said, I love the Lord and I love his word. You know, he died well. Loving the Lord and loving his word. I want us, everyone in here, to be blessed to be happy, to be prosperous, but not this prosperity that the world speaks of, not this success that the world speaks of, but success that's found in Scripture, so that we'll all be like that tree planted by the rivers of waters, that will bring forth fruit in due season, and our leaves shall not wither, and whatever we do, it shall prosper. Shall we pray? Lord, I pray for these your people this morning. And I pray, Father, especially for those who think of your word like castor oil, who they're reading it and it's changing them, but they're not always happy about it. I pray that it becomes more like those strawberries. I pray today that you have these your people to walk before you, knowing your word, God. In Ephesians, it talks about being driven by every wind and doctrine that comes along, Father. I pray that we would not be like that, because we know your word, God, so we know where we should stand and how we should stand, God. I pray for us this morning that your word is transforming our character, our attitude, our behavior. Everything about us is being transformed by your word. I pray that as we study here at CIU, that our lives are changing. Every time we're opening the book, our lives are changing, because your word is changing us, because it's alive in us. I pray today, Father, for that person who doesn't see themselves like the tree planted by the rivers of water, who's looking right now as I'm praying, that doesn't see much fruit. Leaves are kind of dried up. I pray, Father, that as they turn their face back to your word, that, Father, you would prosper them, that you would grow them, and that fruit would be available for all they come in contact with, and their leaves would inspire a generation to serve you. We love you, and this is your servant's prayer. For us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.